Good morning. I'd like to extend to all of you a warm Sabbath day's greeting. We're always a pleasure for us to come and worship our Lord together on a wonderful Sabbath day. And may this special day of worship and praise give honor and glory to our God. Before I begin, let's have a short word of prayer. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Hi, Ida. Good to see you. Ida's back there. She was an old member of our church. She moved to the mainland. It's always good to see friends who come back and visit. Most of you, or maybe some of you may know that the last time I stood behind this pulpit was close to 20 years ago. So this is a very different experience for me. It's been a while. Back then, preaching was really not my most comfortable time or kind of service that I like to do for the Lord. I recall a lot of anxious and anxiety and stress just trying to find a sermon title and then asking God to help me to fill in the blanks for 30 minutes. God is good. He has carried me far into this stage of my life. You know, I even have a Medicare card in my pocket now that I didn't have 20 years ago. And we, as part of this great family, should all be filled with gratitude and joy for his truly cared for his children. I'd like to send you greetings from our Japanese-speaking division where I've been for the last several years. Most of you, as you were driving up here, saw a sign at the crossroads, one to Manoa Road and one to East Manoa Road. Anyway, let me just tell you what the sign says. It says, Genki ni ikiru hiketsu. Translated, secret to a healthy lifestyle. Right now, our Japanese division is in the middle of an evangelistic series. We're having meetings this afternoon and on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And next week, on Sunday at 2 o'clock, we'll be having a cooking demonstration. So if you want to come out and support, we'd be happy to have you. And please pray for our effort. We've had several guests last Sabbath, around 10. I don't know how many we have today, but the Lord is working and using Pastor Iwasaki and the doctors to reach out to our friends. I know we all have experienced the significance of change that occurred throughout our lives and how time is a major factor during these transition periods. How we cope with daily issues during a transition period and how much time is needed for one to feel normal again varies. For many, we prefer most of our daily responsibilities to remain status quo because we know that changes can be challenging and sometimes full of uncertainties. When we search the scriptures throughout biblical history, we find many inspiring God fearing men and women who shine brightly for the Lord. One of my favorite heroes is Joseph. His story always gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling, especially when he meets his brothers. We can but just imagine all the pain and suffering young Joseph had to endure. One moment, the beloved son of Jacob, the next sold to slavery by his brothers into the foreign land of Egypt. But through it all, he never forgot the God of his father and continued to trust in the God of heaven and earth. I believe because of his faithfulness, the Lord was with him through all his trials and temptations. And this is a classic example of a dramatic change of one's life and how difficult the transition period can become. Changes in anyone's life will bring a certain amount of stress and anxiety. But we have God's word that will encourage us and to help us not to give up. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Joseph, with God at his side, became a great man in Egypt, governor of all the land, second only to Pharaoh. When his brothers came to Egypt, because of the great famine to purchase grain, he recognized them, but he kept silent and proceeded to test them to see if there was a change in their character. Later, satisfied that they had changed, he revealed himself to them. And in Genesis 45, 7, he tells them, God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Joseph's words speaks to us today. For we are told that God has a remnant on earth. Right now, today, with a message for the last days, to save lives by a great deliverance. Joseph, because of his faithfulness, was blessed abundantly, and with each obedient response of faith, he grew in grace, closer and more dependent to the God of heaven. What a wonderful reunion he had with his father, brothers, and all his family. We too one day will share that wonderful reunion when the Lord returns. We all have experienced changes in our lives. Some are good and others may cause concern. So here I'd like to share some of the experience that I had growing up. Many of you may not know, but my mother passed away from illness when we were very young. There were three of us, my older sister who was 12, my brother 8, and I had just turned 9. She had been ill for almost 2 months. The first few months, we all missed her a lot, and up until the end of the year, we had to all struggle with living without her. But we being young, and time being on our side, eventually healed our sorrow, and with relatives, friends, and school, and we moved on. But I know for certain that my father had the hardest time of all. Having to be a single parent of three, and taking the responsibility of keeping up our home. Our father never remarried, even though he was only 44. He was and still is my anchor. Well, before you know it, I had turned 18, graduated from high school, and got issued a draft card. Some of you may know about draft cards. Now I was registered in the national draft, and I was eligible for the draft. So in April of 1963, I enlisted in the Air Force for 4 years. At that time, it seemed as though 4 years was a lifetime. Leaving home was very difficult for me. I had a lot of mixed feelings. But I had many friends who came by to see me off at Hickam. And some of my friends came from a Christian church that I used to attend many years previous, and gave me this Bible that I still use today, which I carried in my duffel bag throughout my enlistment. And to be honest, the only time I opened it to read some scripture that a dear friend of mine signed and noted inside of this Bible, I'd like to share that with you. It comes from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Next came one of the biggest changes in my life. The day that I realized that the path that I was taking was not the right path. The Lord opened my eyes and gave me time to think and realize that there needed to be a drastic change in what I was doing with myself. It was then that I went on my knees and accepted the Lord as my Savior. But this is a whole new story, so I'm not going into my conversion experience. But it was an experience that I will never forget. And I hope and pray that each one of you will always remember that conversion experience that you had the day that the Lord came into your heart, filled you with his love, and you accepted him as your Savior. You know, for many months before I accepted the Lord, I was sick. So I had time at home to really think about this dire situation that I was in. But I thank God for all the prayers that were said in my behalf. For my wife, who especially prayed the most, probably. And here, in July 1975, I was baptized by Elder Harold Kono. And it seemed like only yesterday, but it's been like 37 years. And I'm so grateful that the Lord led me to this church. I was able to meet many great Christian friends, and that he continues to bless my family and I each day. One more time that I experienced change was, many of you know, in 1997, when I stood in front of you and I said, I'm only going to be gone for 2 years. Don't worry. Look at Joanne nodding her head. I'll be back. But that 2 years stretched out to 9. I accepted a job in Okinawa working for the Department of Defense. But it was a really, really beautiful experience to meet brothers and sisters in Christ in a foreign land. The hardest part for me was the first 3 months that I was on the island by myself. I had to learn how to drive on a foreign country where the steering wheel is on the right side. I had to learn how to drive on the left side of the road. I had to get used to a working environment, make new friends. It was difficult, but you know, the most difficult part was when I first got to Okinawa. That first night I was there, when my sponsor came to pick me up at the airport, took me down to the Air Force Base, checked me in because he already made reservations, took me to my room, closed the door and said, call this number in the morning. And when I stood in that room, I looked at the walls, I looked at the ceiling, and I said, Lord, I think I made a mistake. I never was so lonely in all my life. But, you know, when the next day come and you get involved with work, you make new friends, the Lord blesses you and he takes care of you. And I remember the first Sabbath, I wanted to make sure that I went to church. I had no idea where the church was. I had no idea that there was an English-speaking church. So I grabbed my Bible, I walked out of my room, and I didn't have a car yet, I didn't have a license, so I walked to the nearest gate, went to a taxi driver. In my broken Japanese, I asked him to take me to a Christian church that worships on Saturday. I said, a Christian church? So I said, oh, okay, well, don't worry, I know. So I went in the cab and he took me to Koza Baptist Church. So I said, no, not this church. This church is not open on Sunday. Nobody worships here on Saturday. So it just so happened there was a lady cleaning the yard. So he went out and talked to the lady, and lo and behold, the lady knew where the Adventist church was. So he took me down the road a few more miles, and there it was, Koza Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's the same church that some of you may know, Saburo Arakaki. He told me that he built this church. It was an old church, but it was a very wonderful church. I had many wonderful friends there, and they put me next to Elder Matsuda, who was a translator for the Air Force Judge Advocate, so I was able to, you know, converse and communicate with them. But the 3 months I spent there with before Kyoko came, I really thanked the Lord for sending me to that church, for the wonderful members who took good care of me. While in Okinawa, my wife and I were able to have a wonderful experience with my mother-in-law. We were able to spend wonderful time with her, worshiping with her, visiting all of her relatives. And the 9 years, although I'm sorry I said I'd be only for two, was something that I would never change for anything. When we recall our past experiences, these changes often have a lasting effect on our lives and the lives of our loved ones. When one chooses to follow Jesus, we have the opportunity to experience his same growth of grace, learning to depend fully on God in all things, not on your own strength, and allow the Spirit to lead. We will then be able to experience how the Lord graciously cares for each one of us and enable us to have victories in life's trials and temptations. We also can experience the fruits of love, goodness, mercy, and obedience. This year, I attended my 50th class reunion. I graduated from McKinley High School in 1962. Some of my classmates and I have been together since kindergarten. I was amazed to see what 50 years of life's challenges can do to one's overall appearance. Some of them I didn't even recognize. Hard to imagine how time so quickly passes by. Even so now, after retiring, time seems to move forward at an even faster pace. If only there was a way to slow it down. Maybe we can stop it for a few days. Better yet, turn it back a few years. Wouldn't you like that? But it continues to tick away from the day we are born. One day, time will not be a factor in the lives of God's children. The Word of God, this Word of God, has promised that to each of us. There's a story I'd like to share with you just before closing. The story of a young boy who was terminally ill, so sick, in fact, that the doctor said he was going to die, unless they could find someone with his rare blood type. So the whole family was tested, but it was his little sister who had the perfect match. The doctor and her parents explained to her the nature of this emergency and asked whether she would be willing to give some of her blood to save her very sick brother. Turning away slowly, she quietly thought about their request. Finally, she looked back and nodded her curls. Yes, she would give her blood for her sick brother. Soon, she was connected to that little plastic bag that began to drip full with her life-saving blood. The minutes ticked away slowly, and the procedure finally ended. And as they led the little girl back out of the laboratory with quivering lips and tear-filled eyes, she looked up to her father, to her father's face, and quietly asked, "Daddy, when will I die now?" For a split second, the father looked puzzled, and then, like a flash of lightning, it hit him. His little girl had just gone through the entire ordeal of donating her blood, believing that when it was over, she would die. Did she die, really die for her brother? The shining truth is that in her mind, she truly did give up her life for someone she loved dearly. Just like Jesus, who in his mind that Friday afternoon gave up his life forever so that you and I might live forever and ever. That is why nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In closing, we are promised as God's children to one day have the blessed experience of a supernatural change at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Our God, who is in control of all things, has a reason and a purpose that will benefit mankind through his plan of salvation. All he asks is that we love, trust, obey, and faithfully follow him. This promise is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." May we all be there for this glorious change. Amen. And now, because of the blood and the body that was shed on our behalf, we can come to you boldly, seeking your grace, seeking your strength, and your wisdom. Dismiss us now with your blessing, and be with us in the week to follow. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.